Hello and welcome to the MHG podcast. As usual, life can be a little bit miserable and a little bit dark, so we're here to bring you a little bit of joy and a little bit of light. I forgot which way round that went. As usual, I'm Bradley, joined by Stu. How much are you hating gay flags, Stu?
Oh, I hate on it constantly. Yeah, it's the bane of my life. Painted across, you know, crossings on walkways and stuck on the back of people's shirts. It's disgraceful. No, of course not. It's fantastic and I think it's wonderful. And people don't understand representation whatsoever. So it really makes me happy.
Well, I think you're wrong though. I think people do understand representation as long as that representation is cis white male.
Yeah, it's about them. Yeah.
You know, if you did, they are the minority these days. There's a brilliant, before I get on to like the bulk of this bit, there's a brilliant duo on Twitter, and they've got like a like TikTok, YouTube podcast thing called The Exploding Heads. And they basically just absolutely rip the piss out of like calling shows and sports presenters and politicians and stuff like that. And they are absolutely outstanding. I think if you've heard the like the Colin from Portsmouth bits before.
No, I haven't.
They have this person, this ranty person, or calling whatever the like the news story is off the week, like having a go at immigrants and stuff like that. Now I've the person calling as like Colin from Portsmouth, and he's always called Colin from Portsmouth, who goes on about sort of like how immigrants are doing this and that, but with the all the hypocrisy that comes with the arguments and everything as well. And they are just really, really good. And they've done like one that was fairly recently where they're ripping the piss out of Joey Barton without naming him, like without naming him at all. The guy is sort of, what do you think about women's football? And the other guy goes, it's not on my radar. I don't really mind either way. You know, as long as they're happy, it's their game too. But what if you wanted to promote a podcast? Well, they shouldn't even be in football, of course. You know, they're ruining the game. But definitely goes, yeah. But what if you want to? What if you want to promote a podcast and it's your only source of income? Well, you know, they shouldn't be in the game, and they're no worse than, they're no better than serial killers. And it just gets progressively worse. And they are just, they nail everything. They are absolutely brilliant. So I can't wait to see their take on the New England kit, where the outrage is being misdirected. So Nike have put a St. George's cross on the back of the shirt. And to promote inclusivity and stuff like that, they've put a bunch of colours on there that could or could not be from various different pride flags. And that's it. It's a nice little touch. Looks pretty smart. It's very small on the back of the collar. And yeah. Do you know, like, the left-wing snowflakes, Stu? Right, who get upset over everything because the left are snowflakes and can't take stuff.
Yeah, the wokerati.
Well, imagine that reaction, but times 10 from the right at the moment.
Nice stuff, yeah.
We've had Mr. Joseph Barton has referred to it as, let me bring up the quote because it's worth it. They know exactly what they are doing. That's at Nike, at FA, at England. Trying to sneak that woke, gay, communist nonsense onto the England national team jersey. It'll be to appease all the lesbians who play for the Lionesses and in women's football. Nothing playful about it.
That's wonderful. I mean, I like the idea of like having to appease them. Like, appease the lesbians. It'd be hilarious. It's like, oh God, got to appease the lesbians. What are they going to do if we don't, you know? It's fantastic.
But they will support the lesbians. This is what gets me. Like, this is where the hypocrisy comes in. It's like, oh, I've got to appease the lesbians. But the lesbians are right when we find the ones that don't like trans women. Like, what? Yeah. Which is it? Peter Shilton, who was a bit of a hero of mine in the days, he's one of them as well. He's jumped in and slagged and sort of like, which is my impression of Gammons.
It's a good one.
So Peter Shilton, former failed footballer Jamie O'Hara, who went, I represented England as a schoolboy to under 21 level, so not that good. Every time I put the shirt on to play for my country, I felt pride and I felt honoured. I felt united and inspired because I was wearing a shirt that had my national flag on it. At night, give our players their flag back. There, obviously, spelt incorrectly.
Oh, of course. Absolutely. You wouldn't be a footballer if you didn't get like basic grammar and spelling.
Or you wouldn't be a Twitter gammon if you weren't, you know, getting that all wrong. And
precisely.
Lee Anderson. This is where you want to know what side do you want to be on. Lee Anderson, leave our shirt alone. So, you know, who else is there? Emily Fulbury, having a go. Can't find her quotes, but she's having a moan. Oh, yeah, you wouldn't expect Nike to look at the Welsh flag and change the dragon to a pussycat.
What?
I mean, what? I mean, why? No? Who? They're not changing the three lions emblem, by the way. That's still as it is. That's still like three lions, which the women on their jersey, guess what they have? They have three lions. Just saying.
Yeah.
So, and then Sunak and Keir Starmer, we found what brought them together as well, because the Tory and the Tory in disguise are both going, oh, this is not right. This is our flag.
Bloody hell.
So I'm hoping beyond hope that Nike stick to their guns, because one, don't let them win. Two, it's hilarious. And three, it's hilarious.
I think it's hilarious. And I love it as well, because, like, you know, if you're, what you're doing with that sort of thing is you go in, this is not like a group or an organisation. It's about a collection of people who live in your country. So you go in, right, okay, so traditionally you've got the flag and the flag represents the country. And then you're changing the colours and going, this is highlighting people within that country. So it's different from, like, you know, the when they do the police thing where they change it to, like, black and white with a blue line, because that's an institution. Like, this is just about people, about human beings, and it's totally great, and it, you know, it's the sort of thing you can embrace unless you're a complete bigot. And the minute you speak out about it, you immediately target yourself as a bigot, because only bigoted people would care.
Yeah, no, totally. I mean, again, you're making Nike look like the good guy here. Look, that's how bad you are.
right?
So, you know, sweatshops and all that. Now, the biggest controversy with the England kits should be the cost. £124 for an adult shirt and, like, £119 for a child shirt.
What?
Yes. You can't get slightly cheaper ones at, like, £90 and £80 for the stadium replicas, not the actual proper jerseys. So you get, like, cheaper materials and stuff like that in it. So, you know, but that's still ridiculous. Buy from one of the dodgy sellers on Facebook, on DHgate, wherever. You can get them for £25 printed. Do that.
Yeah.
Because we got an England Goldie shirt for Edith with Mary Earps on the back before Nike started selling them, because Nike weren't selling them. So, you know, the factory workers, like, don't worry about the factory workers in the sweatshops with Nike. They're making bang, okay? They're making money, because what they do is, the fakes nowadays aren't fakes. The fakes these days, they just steal the materials that are left over and make their own kits at home. And then they get sold, because why the hell not? You might be funding a little bit of a terrorism. Who cares? This is better than funding Nike.
Oh my God, what a world, honestly.
Yeah, I know, where the terrorism's the lesser of the evils.
I know, right? Whichever angle you approach this topic from, there's so many problems. Jesus. But the only thing in it that isn't a problem is actually having the pride representation.
You know? No, I know. Yeah, that's the one thing that's not a problem. But since we're on this, and, like, also I've mentioned Joey Barton, I did kind of do that on purpose, a little bit naughty of me, because you're going to need to do a little bit of editing to beep this out, so maybe time code a little bit. When one wants to sue another, which do you support? That's a riddle for the ages.
Yeah, that's a psychological, philosophical debate. Like, you know, if a falls in the woods, does anybody hear him cry out, kind of thing? Yeah.
All right. So, yeah, if a falls in the woods, do you even blame the immigrants?
Yeah.
So, Jeremy Vine is suing Joey Barton because Joey Barton keeps referring to Jeremy Vine as a bike nonce, because Jeremy Vine decided to mock Joey Barton's intelligence. And despite Joey Barton turning round and saying to any woman who wanted to sue him that he's got deep pockets if they want to, knowing full well they probably wouldn't try, Jeremy Vine, who once famously used his daughter to tax dodge, just to point out, has the deep pockets to sue Joey Barton and to sue Joey Barton. Joey Barton, with supposedly deep pockets and will let anyone sue him, is doing a GoFundMe for people to raise money for him to defend himself against Jeremy Vine. So when a cunt sues a cunt, which cunt do you want to win?
I know, right? That's superb. That is superb. I'd like them all to fail in some way. Like if he won, you know, if Jeremy Vine wins and then immediately has a heart attack, then that would be perfect.
Who was the one where someone sued someone and they but got only won £1? It was like, great, you managed to beat the scummy newspaper, but you still only got £1 and you didn't really earn much out of it either. I'm sure that was one of the Royals, but I don't, or whatever, but...
Yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah, it's just... And did you know, apparently, we are a video game podcast?
I've heard rumours, but I didn't believe them.
Talking of which, this is how you know I'm ADHD, by the way. I was laying in bed last night, and I couldn't get to sleep because this thought came into my head, just out of the blue. I wonder what's happened to Danny Bear.
That was keeping you up at night.
Yeah, right. Now, I had my phone to hand, right, but this is the ADHD thing. I was laid in such a way that I was comfortable that it was too much effort to reach out and get my phone and Google Danny Bear.
I love that.
So I literally spent the whole time having a conversation with myself about what's happened with Danny Bear. What was she even in? I can't remember what she was in. Lowe told me this morning it was The Word with Terry Christian, the most make person who ever did live. Yeah, she's 50-odd years old, which is not right, because Danny Bear's about 20. In America. How is Danny Bear 50-odd years old?
Oh, that's crazy. Was Danny Bear the one who went out with Keanu Reeves, or am I getting her mixed up with somebody else?
I don't know. My initial thought was she was Danny Dyer's daughter. No, because Danny Dyer's daughter's called Danny Dyer. And that went, that's the wrong daddy, it's Danny Bear. And I thought she'd done Big Breakfast. Didn't do Big Breakfast. That was Paula Yates and Gabby Roslin.
That's right.
And then the Essex one. I forgot her name. I don't mind if I saw her. She was once in Romford.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, I should know. This is turning into a very...
She's with Johnny Vaughan?
Yeah.
Oh,
God. She's great. I can't remember what her name is.
She lives down the road.
Does she? She's on Strictly. Oh? She's really good.
Hang on. Mark Lamar?
Jodie Marsh!
No! The blonde one. She does the Gogglebox thing sometimes.
So, games.
Oh, Denise Van Outen.
Denise Van Outen,
that's right.
It's all coming up, Milhouse. There we go.
Games. You know who probably plays games on her phone? No, I've done that wrong. Do you know what Denise Van Outen probably does on her phone? Play games.
Yes, video games. Sure. I can't even remember what I'm talking about this one. Oh, yeah, Taxi Life. Right, you've got one, I've got two. I'll go first. This has just gone to crap. So, hey, 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 would you like to make some crazy money, Stu?
Oh, there's a crazy taxi reference there. Go on, I would.
There is. Have you ever played Crazy Taxi? And went, oh, it's a bit too crazy for my life.
A little bit.
But I go, do you know what? Let's just put it down a notch, okay? And we'll go make some sensible money around the streets of Barcelona. Well, now you can, Stu. In Taxi Life, a city driving simulator.
Wow.
Which, if you're aware, of Euro Truck Simulator and games such as American Truck Simulator, Bus Simulator, Train Simulators and all that. Well, now there's a taxi one.
Filling a hole in the market.
Do you know what? Yeah, do you know what? It's all right. You have to do a driving test, like a proper driving test before you play it. Not as difficult as... Right, for most people, not as difficult as driver. Driver was piss easy. We've covered that before, okay? Yeah. It's my one claim to being good at video games is that I pissed all over the driver tutorial. But anyway, you have to do a proper driving test, which includes driving forward, coming to a stop, parallel parking, reverse parking, all that kind of thing, navigating through cones properly, and then you get to go out, and then you basically you pick up your fares, you drop them off because you're a taxi, that's what you do. But in the meantime, you have to then sometimes chat to them if they want to chat. You have little conversations about what's going on around town, what their lives are like. You've got to stick fully to the road rules. So you've got to do the speed limits. And you don't get on-screen prompts to what the speed limits are. No, you have to make sure you're keeping an eye on the road signs and stuff. The same with the traffic lights and everything. And all whilst sort of like you've got to get there on time. So they'll be like, oh, you've got a job to go and get some, pick someone up by this part of Barcelona. It's probably a one-to-one recreation of a part of Barcelona, which is really cool.
That is cool.
So it looks lovely. But you've got to go pick someone up and they'll be waiting and their patience drop the longer you take. So you have to get there, but you have to stick to the road rules. So you get there, you pick them up, and they go, oh, this is where I want to go. He's like, okay, let's put that in my sat-nav because you don't need the knowledge around Barcelona. And you do that, you build your fleet up, you end up running a big old taxi company in Barcelona. Overall, it's all right. Really don't mind it. There's one glaring issue that needs fixing, though, to make this a fun game, and that's the traffic. By God, the traffic is awful on this, and not in just, oh, it's really busy, oh, you know, you're on the M25 style traffic. No, they don't know how to use roundabouts at all. Cars just stop randomly if there's a little bit of a build up of traffic. Their knowledge of who to give way to is completely out of whack, and you can sometimes be stuck there for ages while the AI goes, oh, you go. And then you kind of stood there. And if you try and overtake, you might get punished because you've done an illegal manoeuvre. Sometimes they'll just randomly stop and you'll straight into the back of them. And not in a natural way. Which is all well and good. And I get that. But you really got to be sort of like careful on the controls. Because you've obviously got to stay at a speed limit. Now, staying at a speed limit, a set speed limit on a controller is the worst. Because you can't just rest your finger just right. So you're either going too fast, slightly too slow, too fast. You're going vroom, 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 which isn't good on your fuel management, I'd imagine. But yeah, they fixed the traffic side of it. This is a cracking game to go and lose yourself in. But that traffic management, oh, that's rough, baby. That's rough.
Yeah.
Don't want to put that bit in like that.
Yeah, I just had a quick look at the Steam reviews. And one of them just goes, sometimes NPCs can piss you off. And that's it. That's the review. Yeah. And it's a U with a U, not Y-O-U, which is hilarious. It couldn't even be bothered to write out the full word is at this point with the game.
Well, if they couldn't be bothered to do traffic management properly, then I can't be bothered to write proper words.
Exactly. Yeah, why not, eh?
Lots of people angry it doesn't work with a wheel as well, which I get. I get, because if you people who play these games are, you know, they generally go, oh, I'm all in with this. I want my wheel. Like, I've seen the people with the big Euro Truck Simulator, like five screens set up with an actual rig built in their living room.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, exactly. And if you're playing like Train Simulator, you've got those like things, you know, the levers and the pulleys and the thing. You just want the full experience, you know, because you're a nerd that's good. So
I'm not going to lie. If I ever win the lottery, the big lottery, and I get a big, massive mansion house, I'm going to have a room for Flight Simulator, a room for Train Simulator, a room for Euro Truck Simulator. We'll have it all there.
That would be so
And then
cool.
I'll have a garden for Lawnmower Simulator for the kids.
Yeah, I think everyone...
But that'll be an actual lawnmower.
Everyone who's into games should have that kind of a room if they win the lottery. Yeah. I definitely would.
And I'll probably never go and play one of them for like 3 years, but it's there.
That's the important thing, you know. That's the important thing, that it's there.
And obviously be a proper racing setup as well with like hydraulics and everything, but all in separate rooms. Imagine coming round to mine if you had all that. That'd be amazing.
I know, right? I'd live there, basically.
And I'd still just sit there and play it all on my Steam Deck.
I know, just because it's easier.
Yeah. Oh, I don't want to get up and go and fly today. I'm just going to play the Steam Deck.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good game, unfortunately totally ruined by the AI. Hopefully they can fix it, because, like I said, it's a nice alternative to other things. I do like these simulator games. I think they're cozy in their own way. And yeah, it's a shame. I think it's prevent it being a really good game to just being one I don't fancy playing until it's fixed.
That sounds fair, and hopefully they'll get to that and it's done, because otherwise it'll probably just bomb.
Mm. Can't say the word bomb on a plane. We'll be talking about Flight Simulator. We're probably going to be put on the list now, Stu.
We're not allowed to buy any more flight sims now. It's just like, oh, we're on a plane sim blacklist. Yeah.
Yeah, sounds about right. Right, what have you been playing, Stu? Come on.
Well, from the mean/badly driven streets of Barcelona to some nebulous, dystopian, semi-futuristic world where you're a police officer and, you know, ACAB, obviously. I've been playing a game called Wanted Dead, which is...
I've played this one, yes.
It's such a great title. I love that title. I want there to be more game titles that are, you know, popular phrases where you just chop several words out of them and just see what happens. So, absolutely brilliant name. I love it.
That's where it stops.
What it is it's basically like a third-person action game, very much in the sort of... Well, the touch points most people bring up are like Ninja Gaiden. But after playing it through, when I've completed it, I'd say it's a cross between Metal Gear Rising and Killer is Dead. And one of those games is absolutely amazing. Metal Gear Rising is one of my favourite games of all time. And one of them...
Platinum at its best.
And one of them is fairly mediocre, which is Killer is Dead. And Wanted Dead falls off the edge of both of them. And I have to preface this by saying I actually enjoyed this game. It's one of those games that is objectively garbage, but it's got some good ideas in it, and I connected with it and I enjoyed it. That is not a recommendation before anyone goes, oh, I'll go out and buy it. It's not a recommendation. Listen to what I have to say first, because it will probably put you right off. So the great things about it are that it's got a mixture of, instead of it being just a sword or just a gun or whatever, it's got a mix of the two. So, you know, you've got two types of weapon and they mix up well. So a little bit like the way that, you know, Devil May Cry does that, but even more so because the gun part of it is very, very important, and not just for juggles. It does interrupts and stuff. It, you know, it's very integral to the fighting experience in a way, like Bayonetta and Vanquish and that sort of thing. And that kind of mixes up the combat. It's got a cover system. It's got finishing moves that you can do. It's got a skill tree, which is actually really good. And it's got some good enemies in it. Right. Now, I liked the way that those things combined, but everything else about it is bad. And it starts pretty early. And the game kind of starts okay and then kind of gets worse progressively. And I played it on the easiest setting, which is still not particularly easy, because the game is absolutely balked when it comes to difficulty levels. The final boss is nowhere near as difficult as just a regular fight between a couple of enemies mid-game, for example, because they've got the balance totally wrong. They've got... it's just... Honestly, they'll throw in, like, three of these cyborg ninjas at you at once in a tiny, confined space, and you're supposed to try and get out of it. The camera doesn't work properly, constantly gets stuck, bumping up against walls. There's no lock-on, so you can't lock onto enemies, which is, like, the biggest, most overlooked feature of this kind of game ever in the history of gaming ever. The weapon balance is totally off. Like, some enemies die to, like, practically a single hit. Some take, like, 3 minutes of attrition trying to beat them. And this is just, again, in the middle of a level. The checkpointing system is a disaster. As I say, the difficulty spikes are legendary. It's pretty ugly. The character models are great. The backgrounds are disastrously ugly. It's such a weird mess. It feels like they had funding pulled like midway through and they just couldn't complete the game they wanted to do. And so, you know, it's like, you know, somebody who's very well dressed walking through a rundown area. Just basically pretty much doesn't work. And there are so many other games that are either free or buttons now that do it so much better in not even the giddy heights of, you know, DMC or Bayonetta or even like mediocre stuff like Killer is Dead. It fails on to surpass any of those, and it falls so short. It's a staggering game. So janky. It's jankmongous, and I still enjoyed it. I'm such a weirdo.
Yeah, no, I hated it. I think I covered it on the podcast last year sometime or the year before. I can't remember when it came out now. It's a bad game. I wiped it from my memory last year.
Beginning of last year, I think it was, yeah.
Yeah, it got loads of good reviews, and I don't know why. It's but you kind of get it with Deadly Premonition and stuff like that. You kind of go, yeah, I get it. Right, they are bad games, but that's part of the charm. It's why it works and it does. Blah, 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 blah. This is just a bad game. I don't like it. I never want to play it again. I was really excited for it because it looked really good. The cutscene jank, all for cutscene jank. But make your gameplay semi-decent, and it's just not for me. And I couldn't get on with it. Again, happy that you found enjoyment in it through the jank, because I think that's cool. I just couldn't. I played it, and I was like, I hate this. I could have put it down. Don't get me wrong. There's something engaging about it. But I was like, yeah, no, I hated it. It's like having sex with an ex who you hate. You're doing it because kind of like it's there. And it's been offered, and you're like, well, go on then. I'm not going to enjoy this. In fact, I'm going to make it angry. And that's kind of how I played it.
The angry sex game. Yeah, no, it's... the reason I, like, to complete the shit sandwich, the thing that I enjoyed is that some of the ideas in it are really excellent. And, like,
yeah,
you know, like, in a lot of games, there aren't that many games that have, like, finishing moves that are kind of integral to the gameplay experience. And the ones that do... they're very often a kind of like subsidiary thing, you know. It's like, oh, you've done all of this and now you can do the final thing. But they were very much trying to do what Metal Gear Rising did, which is make it integral to the gameplay, you know. So obviously you had to do the, is it called Bakamatsu or Katamatsu or something like that in Metal Gear Rising,
like that, yeah,
where you destroy the core. And they're trying to do something like that. And when it works, it's really great. It's really, really good. There are some really cool finishes. They're like John Wick in a lot of ways. There's a fantastic one where your main character, she like slices the guy a little bit, takes his feet out from under him, drops a grenade under his body and rolls away, and the grenade goes off and he bops up in the air. And it's brilliant and it's hilarious. And I kept finding them. There must be at least like 15 or 20 of them scattered throughout the game. And some of them only pop up rarely. And it's one of those things that really enhances the experience, especially like I say, like some of loads of the enemies are well overpowered and just tanks and take way too much damage to die. And sometimes you'll just do a perfect parry and you'll break their guard and they'll be vulnerable to a finishing move and you do it immediately. And the satisfaction of pulling it off is really good. And they get the balance completely wrong with it and it's full of jank. But when it works, it's very clever. And again, that makes me feel that it is just like unfinished, ran out of money, ran out of sponsorship, whatever. But it just kind of, it does feel like it's got great ideas that were just badly put to... yeah, put to screen.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's got ideas. I respect them for putting something. That is something I'd rather play than some of the microtransaction-laden live services. It's a bad game, but at least it's made with heart and not designed to fleece you every week and make you play a game like a job. So, you know, it's got that to it, and I respect them for that. It's just, I just... found it a bad game, unfortunately.
Well, you were right. I am wrong, and I admit it.
No. This is one of those where that you're not alone. I know you're not alone in this. There's lots of people who objectively love this game as well. So it's doing something right, obviously. And like with all video games, and we said it before, if a few people find enjoyment from it, that's all that matters.
True. Absolutely true. Yeah. I liked it enough to complete it, even though it was like, yeah, jankmongous, as I say.
Right, moving on. Hey, it's a me. Would you like to make some crazy money?
Again?
Yeah. What if you know Crazy Taxi, Joe? You've played Crazy Taxi,
I have.
Yeah. Right. What if You still wanted the same level of crazy, but you wanted a bit more Italian plumber in your taxi.
Yeah, go on.
So, I've been playing a game called Yellow Taxi Goes Vroom, which is you are a taxi playing Super Mario 64. And that's the game.
Okay.
Yep. And it's something is the best way I can put it. Basically, yeah, you take on the role of this taxi and you're given tasks by a character called Mario, who is literally in the game, it says, legally distinct character as well. So it's very self-referential humour. It's give or take the humour. I laughed a couple of times. Some of it's a bit, oh God. But the humour's there. And it's, yeah, it drives the game. It fits the palette. You've got these 3D Mario 64 style levels that you've got to go around, collect coins, collect gears. The more you collect, the more different places you can unlock to go. Same as, you know, when you collect stars and stuff in Mario 64, you can open new doors, go through them and do more things. And each level has its own little challenges in it. And it's just like you get these different power-ups as you go. And it's basically, yeah, you can use a mixture of, and this is the brilliance of it in a way, a mixture of driving control, so right trigger to drive forward, left trigger to brake and go back, or your directional pad to move forward, left, right, whatever. Which is really, yeah, it works. And I found myself using the two sometimes. I couldn't get, like, if I was going somewhere, I forgot that I could just turn around sometimes. It's just reverse now. I'm like, I don't need to reverse. I can actually just turn around on the spot. Yeah, you just, like, you just go through and do Mario things in a taxi. And that's honestly the game. And it's good. It's not great, but it's not rubbish. It's just good. And it's like, you know, it's not Mario 64. It's not Mario Odyssey. It can't be. But, you know, sometimes you just go, this game is so stupid. I can't not help but like it. Yeah. And this is what this game is. It is honestly, it is so dumb and so stupid. And it feels like they've gone, right, in this hat, we've got a character. And in this hat, we've got a game creation concept. And we're going to put them together. They pulled out Taxi. They pulled out Mario and went, all right, there we go. We're making Mario Taxi.
Yeah.
And it works. Honestly, it works in all the right ways. I don't know what people are going to make of it. That's the weird thing I've got. I don't know what people are going to make of this because it is clearly, it's not a rip-off, but it's a clear homage, shall we say. But the taxi's really weird because it's not like a taxi, drivey taxi. Well, it is, but it's a clockwork drivey toy taxi as well for no reason whatsoever.
That's odd.
Yeah, there's a guy that's got a pizza as a head. He's like a king with a pizza as a head. I think that might be a reference to Katamari Damacy. When you look at the character, I think that might be a character for the what's he called? The King of All Cosmos. I think it might be a reference there. Some of the level designs, like the green and green checker areas, like obviously straight out of Sonic, but 3D and Mario-y, and it's, yeah, it's weird and glorious. It comes out in April. I've had it for a few days and I just can't help but have fun with it. And yeah, it's just one of those games. It's launching, like, so it's got, like, it's gonna be about £15 when it launches, which, having played it and not put money down for it, I can say, do you know what? Yes, that's worth it. But I can see why a lot of people might go, Jesus Christ, £15? I don't know. But rest assured, it's brilliant. It's by the people who also made, just for reference, if people want a reference to the developers, who made Monster Prom, which is really good, and Move or Die, which is also pretty good as well. So they've got a decent knowledge of games from before.
Well, yeah, it sounds all right. These things kind of live or die on whether they have a good new quirk, for me, especially like platformy 3D games, because I obviously have played on recently, Penny's Big Breakaway, and it had a decent quirk in that, which which is a good hook. It didn't turn out to be a particularly amazing game. I finished it. Yeah, it was all right. But yeah, you kind of need something that's going to reel people in, especially if it's a bit of a crowded genre.
It's got it. It's got it. So one thing I should mention: there's no jump button, by the way. Which is weird in a platformer, but you use a variety of like mini ramps and you could kind of do this weird drive jump thing if you hit things at a certain angle to get across platforms or to reach higher places, and the physics are a little bit forgiving and stuff like that. So it all adds into the quirk. And when you first go, there's no jump up, this is going to get so frustrating. It works. The developers here have made it work within the confines of the game, which I think is very important. You have sometimes a mechanic where people go, oh, we've got this mechanic. You go, that's a really good mechanic. You've not made it work in your game. This is not the case here. Having no jump button, which should categorically be a no-no in a platformer, somehow works here because you're driving a clockwork taxi.
Right.
And yeah, it does work. And it's like, as much as it looks like Mario 64, I would argue it takes a lot of cues from Super Mario Odyssey in terms of its level structure. Yeah. Two taxi games in 1 week.
I only just realised
it when I started talking about this second one as well.
Oh, right. Well, I thought when you did the whole crazy taxi bit that you were like, oh, yeah.
As I pulled it up and went, right, oh, crap, it's another taxi game. I didn't plan it before the podcast. It's only as I went to start, I went, oh, okay, let's jump in with another crazy taxi reference.
It's a Bug's Life and Ant's situation all over again with two arriving at the same time. Deep Impact and Armageddon and all of that.
God, have you read my latest article, Stu?
I have not.
Well, it's almost like you've read my latest article, because I spoke about, in a bit of cross promotion, our Indie Roundup for 2024 week 12, I spoke about the game Bingle Bingle, which has just come out, which is basically Balatro-like.
Oh shit, yes I have, sorry, I have read that, yeah.
And I mentioned Deep Impact, Armageddon, and the Bug's Life.
Oh my God, well that's it then. I've obviously, like, it's in my subconscious and I've just channeled it. Yeah, that'll be it.
We've inceptioned it.
I really have. You have more of an impact on my life than even I realise.
I know. I heard you like references in your references or something, I don't know. Is that Exhibit? Is that his name?
That's the one, yeah. They should have that, like what? Him with the Inception thing and Leonardo DiCaprio doing that squinty face. And yeah,
what is Exhibit? What did he do apart from that meme?
He was a rapper.
Okay,
didn't he do X Gonna Give It To You, that one that's everywhere?
I don't know. I only just know 50 Cent, and that's because he's in video games.
Wow, that's going back a few years and all.
That's a really good game, by the way. The 50 Cent. I can't remember which one it is. It's the good one. One's really good, one's really rubbish. But there's two, and yeah, play the good one.
Well, yeah, that's good advice for everybody. Yeah, I never played any. Yeah. The Blood on the Sand, was it? Or something like
that? That could be the good one.
Yeah.
And also, Def Jam Vendetta, Fight for New York. Play that. That's brilliant.
I'll give it a go.
Yeah. We won't review those, just they're really good. Def Jam, Fight for New York. It's brilliant. I think it takes the old WCW, NWO, WWF No Mercy N64 engine and updates it, but with all the same mechanics in it, and it was brilliant. And I'm going to play that later. I've got it downloaded somewhere. I mean, legally owned on a disc somewhere.
Of course.
And I might play it on a GameCube emulator just to spite Nintendo.
Hell yeah. Yeah, stick it to the man.
Yes. Do, but not by putting flags on your shirts, because that upsets the man.
Upsets the man very badly.
Yeah, we don't want to upset the man, we just want to stick it to them.
Yeah, you got it.
And with that, this man, I'm not a man, I'm non-binary, I don't know where that's going. I'm going to shut up now, Stu.
Fair enough. Yeah, X very much going to give it to you. I just looked it up. No, X Gonna Give It To You is by DMX. So too many rappers with X in their name, in their body. Probably. I don't know what I'm talking about. Anyway, As usual, follow all of our content on the socials. Make sure you check out stuff on YouTube. Go to the website, read the Indie Roundup and all of that sort of stuff. And if you want to, join the Discord for chat. Otherwise, in the meantime, we'll see you here. Same time next week, whatever the hell that means, because it's a different time every week. In the meantime, stay safe and stay sane.